This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Is America involved in a mental health meltdown? That's an interesting question. I suppose it depends on what you call mental health and a mental health breakdown. And what is a mental health illness anyway? Well, today on Viewpoint, we're going to be talking about that. We were scheduled to be joined by a gentleman who for 80 years, oh, he is 80 years of age, and has suffered from what used to be called manic depressiveness and now is called bipolar. He was supposed to have joined us here today on Viewpoint. Not sure what happened. Maybe he was suffering from one of those episodes. But in any event, we're going to talk about that based upon his book and also about a number of other pieces of information that might actually be shocking to many of us. So we're going to open the door to discussion concerning mental illness today. Maybe you don't want to call it mental illness. Maybe we want to call it mental deficiency, maybe we want to call it emotional interruption to our normal mental state, whatever we want to term it. There are designations that are given by doctors and psychiatrists to some of these conditions, and today we talk specifically concerning the matter of bipolar or manic depressive syndrome. I remember when I was studying psychology during my college days, and discussion was had concerning this matter of what was then referred to as manic depressive disorder. Bipolar had not yet become normative as a conversational term for this particular subject, and I do remember that the treatment that was rendered standard, the standard treatment for bipolar or manic depressive was lithium. Lithium. And you can get lithium poisoning. But lithium actually was the standard treatment. Today, it may have changed somewhat, but we're going to talk about why this is such an important issue. Now, in order to get your attention concerning this, it may be helpful to understand perhaps the breadth of people whose names you might know who have been known to have mental illness issues such as manic depressive or bipolar. One is Simone Biles, the world famous gymnast. You know, she stepped away from the Tokyo Olympics in 2021 due to mental health issues. So she's become a great mental health advocate. Simone Biles, whatever you think of her, she has demonstrated to the world a tremendous ability as a gymnast. And then, of course, there was Mariah Carey. She was diagnosed in 2021, but lived in denial and isolation for many years. Carrie Fisher, best known as Princess Leah, was diagnosed at 24. Bebe Rexha, a singer, said, "I'm bipolar and I'm not ashamed anymore." And then there was Mel Gibson. Remember Mel Gibson, the one who produced The Passion of the Christ? In a 2008 documentary, Mel Gibson said he has bipolar. Russell Brand published his autobiography in 2007, where he discussed his experience with bipolar. And then you may remember the recent passing of Brian Wilson, you know, of the Beach Boys. He revealed that his bipolar left him unable to compose for years. Wow, who would have ever known it? Kurt Cobain, remember him, he lived with both ADD and bipolar and committed suicide at 27. His name came across the pop culture world with great pain over what happened to him. And of course, Jimi Hendrix, a rock star, guitar legend. He wrote a song called Manic Depression. It was chronicling his experience with his mood swings, and he died at 27 in 1970. But then again, there was a fellow by the name of Ernest Hemingway, Remember that name? A Nobel Prize winning author, prone to manic depressive behavior throughout his whole life. And are you familiar with a broadcasting company called CNN? It was founded by Ted Turner of Turner Broadcasting, and he spent much of his life battling bipolar and depression. Believe it or not, Vivian Leigh, most famous as Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind, was diagnosed with what was then known as manic depression. Wow, who would have ever known it? And this is a list of famous folks from the past. Oh, more and more famous folks from the past, like Abraham Lincoln, Ludwig van Beethoven, Marilyn Monroe, Agatha Christie, even Isaac Newton, Sir Isaac Newton, considered one of the most brilliant scientists ever to have graced the face of the earth. Ralph Waldo Emerson, Mark Twain, Vincent van Gogh. Who would have ever believed it? I would believe Edgar Allan Poe, though, because of what he wrote. These are just some of those. Most of us are everyday folks, not famous, not celebrities. And so we're talking to everyday folks here today. But the reason we opened up with these folk is because, well, it helps us to realize that whoever is dealing with these issues is not alone. Not alone. Even Buzz Aldrin, who made it all the way to the moon, well, he also was troubled. And Patty Duke, remember her? Patty Duke? Oh, yeah. All of these people. Selena Gomez. Robin Williams. Liz Taylor. All of these very, very well understood names ringing in our memories. And who would have ever believed that most of them had mental health issues, particularly bipolar or manic depressive. So what is this anyway? What is this business of manic depressive or bipolar? Well, in order to understand this in depth, experientially, from Paul Samuels and his wife Arlene, who I met at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention earlier this year, you got to get a copy of their book, Mental Health Meltdown, Illuminating the Voices of Bipolar and Other Mental Health Issues. One wrote, timely and desperately needed. That was Kathy Ireland, executive producer of Anxious Nation. There's a whole lot of talk about mental health issues, anxiety, all kinds of things in our country today, including inside the doors of our churches. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a husband, a wife. Maybe it's a child, a grandchild. Today we talk to you on Viewpoint. We'll be right back with you after this break. Mental Health Meltdown. You might want to get a copy of the book on our website.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
How do we deal with mental health issues? Every one of us has a brain. We have a mind. God gives us a mind. He gives us a brain. And it's our central operating system. But what happens if somehow it goes awry? Is it a curse? Or is it a blessing? Is it possible that such a thing could be a blessing? Well, how about all these people whose names we just mentioned, who have become famous, and yet were characterized by struggling, sometimes for years, sometimes their whole life, with manic depressive or bipolar condition. It's hard for us to understand, hard for us to deal with it, isn't it? Bipolar disorder and manic depressive disorder are terms that were historically used interchangeably to describe the same mental health condition. However, according to the current Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Health Disorders called DSM-5, they use the term bipolar disorder. I think one of the reasons for it was to try to minimize what some people might have thought was a very negative view of manic depressive. So they came up with another word, another term, bipolar disorder. In other words, we're shifting from one end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum, bipolar. Both terms refer to a mood disorder characterized by alternating periods of elevated mood, that is mania or hypomania, and depressed mood. Symptoms of mania may include inflated self-esteem, decreased need for sleep, racing thoughts, and impulsive behaviors. Symptoms of depression may include persistent sadness, loss of interest, fatigue, and feelings of hopelessness. Well, those aren't exactly exciting criteria or diagnoses if one is suffering from those things. But the term manic depressive disorder is no longer considered a clinically accurate diagnosis. But I do think that they chose the term bipolar for reasons other than clinical accuracy. Bipolar disorder, manic depressive order are essentially the same condition. So, what does it look like? What is it that we should be looking at? What is it that we're dealing with here? Well, if our special guest today, Paul Samuels, had been able to join us together with his wife, Arlene, we would have been able to get from the inside out a real heart-rending picture of how Paul Samuels has dealt with this condition, bipolar condition, and how his wife, who is not bipolar, has dealt with it. We'll take a look at some of the things that they have to say as to how to respond to a situation like this if it occurs in your home or in your sphere of influence. But before we do, let me make sure you get a copy of the book, Mental Health Meltdown, Illuminating the Voices of Bipolar and Other Mental Illnesses. $20 is going to put the book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. You're writing a check, and $6 for postage and handling so that we can get the book in your hands. Now, I happen to meet this couple, as I said, at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Texas, just outside of Dallas, Texas, earlier this year. And as I was walking around talking to a lot of different people, I happened to come across this couple, and we ended up having quite an interesting conversation. And because of that, I was glad to receive their book and also to indicate that we would be doing an interview with them later on in the year. Well, for whatever reason, as I called Paul to join us here together with his wife, Arlene, all I could get was an answering machine, which tells me that something may be going on there, and maybe it would be wise to pray for them in their current situation, whatever that might be. But in any event, we're talking about a man who is currently 80 years of age, and so they're in their upper years, and they have been going through this relationship now for some period of time. And you can well imagine, if you're not bipolar, if you don't have this diagnosis, you're going to have a problem. How do I deal with this individual that seems to be swinging from one pendulum to the other, way out on the far end of manic or way out on the far end of depression? How am I going to handle this changing expression of emotion that just seems to come on quickly, and then I don't know how to deal with it? Even People magazine, by the way, they interviewed 18 celebrities with bipolar disorder. People magazine. So they weren't afraid to deal with it. And apparently those that they dealt with, that they interviewed, weren't afraid to talk about it because they had incurred such personal problems in dealing with the situation that they felt it necessary and helpful to let others know that they themselves have had to deal with it, and they are, shall we say, famous or infamous, as the case may be, but they wanted people to know that they're not alone. Now, Arlene Samuels has a chapter in their book called My Life with Paul. Paul Leon Samuels is my husband, she says. We have helped, not only co-written our book, but we've co-written each other's lives as a team with commitment, humor, and a life-giving God who is the editor of everything in the universe. Our marriage, she says, has survived against all odds. So I'm sharing my story as a rope of hope, a rope of hope. Remember those words, a rope of hope for anyone walking alongside someone with a mental illness. She said, when I first married Paul, I made a pronouncement. Paul, if you ever lose your handsome head of hair, I will divorce you. She says, laugh out loud. At 80 years old, Paul still has a great head of beautiful white hair, and we're still together. She said, Paul wrote, the beauty of life is that every day we have another chance. Those words were penned by Paul. She calls him her poetry man. But it's been seasons of heartaches and happiness. She says, our marriage is proof of one of my descriptions of God, the supernatural specialist of rescue missions. What a joy to share my experiences navigating the journey as Paul's wife and partner for life. Paul and I grew up, she said, in totally different worlds. A Jewish guy from the South Bronx and a Gentile daughter of the South born in North Carolina. I mean, right there, the Jew and the Gentile, you can see how the division would be there from the get-go without even introducing manic depressive or bipolar. She went to graduate school. She got a master's degree in rehabilitation counseling from the University of Alabama. She said, for 25 years, I've held positions with Israel Always, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, and the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem. She says, I now, since 2020, have been writing a weekly feature column at the Christian Broadcasting Network Israel. So in other words, Arlene has been very, very active. She majored in philosophy and religion, minored in history and sociology. So, why did she marry Paul? That's a good question. I would have liked to have answered or asked that question specifically. But she said her own parents' fortitude shaped her for marriage. Shaped her for marriage. At age 55, after years of willing hospitalizations, counseling, and prayers, her husband, Paul's diagnosis of bipolar 2, became one of the best days of their lives, she said. The psychiatrist described his main symptoms. Your bipolar produces recklessness and self-destruction in your addiction. Those two words flashed like neon lights as answers to our questions about Paul's episodes. Finally, she said, we understood the backdrop for his addiction and that his brain disease fueled acting out, producing shame, guilt, a suicide attempt, and frequent suicidal thoughts. Early in our marriage, she said, I called my servant-hearted, outgoing, multi-talented husband a diamond in the rough. However, she said, a diamond's journey is a long and hard one. I did not understand all that he was going through and what I was going through as a result of what he was going through. She said, I stayed in the marriage because, well, I was trained with fortitude by my parents. When Paul and I first met, we had already fallen far away from the Lord for unwise and willful reasons, she said. During my five prodigal years, I developed a drinking problem and lived a worldly lifestyle. A few months after we met, the aspiring poet and folk singer Paul moved to Hilton Head Island. Despite our love and idyllic beauty surrounding us, our partying life left us empty, and we knew why. We had abandoned our faith before we ever met. I dare say most marriage face problems, some bigger than others. Often the feelings of love disappear. Outrageous commitment must kick in when feelings desert us. And I drew my commitment from an unusual encounter with the Lord one night in the late 1970s when lightning struck in a thunderstorm of confession in my life. Pulling out my suitcase to pack, she said, suddenly in a one-of-a-kind moment, the Lord communicated to my mind and heart, Arlene, you have my permission to leave. It's unfaithfulness. If you choose to stay, I will give you the kind of husband you always dreamed of, and I myself will keep you emotionally stable. So she stayed. She said, divorce lingered in the back of my mind. I questioned myself, often wondering if I was enabling Paul by staying or how his mental illness would affect our children. We spent many hours in couples counseling, and we can understand that. Paul's desperate desire to change and his decision to enter a month-long therapeutic counseling program gave me hope. Well, it didn't change. I have described our marriage in two ways, a beautiful disaster and a tattered quilt, full of vibrant colors, sometimes torn apart, yet always lovingly stitched back together by the Lord's hands. And as I talked with this couple, I realized that there was a passion between them. There was no denial of the situation, no denial of the trauma and even torment relationally that would go back and forth when Paul had his bad days, either manic or depressive. She said, so I have bad days with impatience and tiredness. But his faith gave me hope. So we co-authored this book, she said, to try to use our situation as a means of giving hope and extending a hand of hope to others. And I hope that as I share this with you here, to the best of my ability, seeing that for whatever reason, our guests were unable to join us here today on Viewpoint, that you will be encouraged, that you will realize that you are not alone, and that God still has a plan and a purpose for you and for them. The book, Mental Health Meltdown, Illuminating the Voices of Bipolar and Other Mental Diseases, helping you hold on to hope. $20 on our website, saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries. Add $6 for postage and handling. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Today we're talking about this matter of mental illness, and particularly bipolar or manic depressive, as we used to call it. I personally find the manic depressive to be far more descriptive and simple to describe the situation, but currently the so-called experts in the field call it bipolar, and which means there are two poles, one way at one end and one way at the other end. So anyone who is dealing with this situation personally knows viscerally what it feels like. And it's difficult to, shall we say, own up to the situation because it doesn't make you feel any better. On the other hand, if we own up to situations, oftentimes we're more able to deal with them rather than deny them. And so we shared earlier on in the program a whole list of celebrities, very famous people who have dealt with this very strange situation, bipolar or manic depressive. And I think perhaps one could say, looking at many of these people, much of their, perhaps their artistic expression was either an outreach of their, of the condition that they experienced personally, or it was, rather than an outreach, they were so intensely gifted in many different ways that in the very heart and womb of the bipolar experience, they were able to not only rise above, but demonstrate that notwithstanding the condition that they were dealing with periodically, they could make a difference in our world. I think a fellow like Sir Isaac Newton back in the 1600s. Sir Isaac Newton is the one who gave us the laws of motion, and they've never been refuted. Some say that he was equally as brilliant as Einstein, perhaps even more so. He was also a very Christian man. He wrote more concerning prophecy than he did concerning mathematics, which was his forte. When I was in high school, I had to write a term paper, and I wrote it on the life of Sir Isaac Newton and his famous work called The Principia. The man was utterly and totally brilliant. I did not know at that time that he had suffered with bipolar or manic depressive disorder. I didn't know that. But the man was brilliant beyond brilliance, and even looking back, many scientists, historians believe that he was one of the most brilliant scientists and mathematicians ever to have graced this planet. Amazing. Utterly amazing. And of course, Vincent van Gogh, and how about Beethoven? Who would have ever believed Ludwig von Beethoven, manic depressive? How did these people do it? Ernest Hemingway, how did they do it? How did they rise above? But they did. I guess you couldn't keep a good man down. In other words, there is hope for all of us. I personally have never suffered from this particular situation, and I'm glad for that. On the other hand, there are many people who have, and I have known a number of people who have. And it's very troubling for them. It's very troubling for their families, for their spouses, for their children, and so on, because they don't know which expression am I going to deal with tomorrow. Is it going to be the manic or the depressive? Radical, wide mood swings. So, bipolar disorder, also known as bipolar affective disorder, believe it or not, is one of the top 10 leading causes of disability all over the world. Now, I didn't know that, but I'm informed that that is the case, having done some research concerning this. It's characterized by chronically occurring episodes of mania or hypomania, alternating with depression and often misdiagnosed initially, as so many situations are misdiagnosed. Even Lyme disease. A famous singer now is admitting that he is fighting with Lyme disease, a Christian man, fighting with Lyme disease. Well, Lyme disease is often misdiagnosed by doctors. And so by the time the person actually finds out what it is, it's too late. It's too late for treatment. It's too late to deal with the situation. So many things are like that, misdiagnosed initially. And that's unfortunate. However, we're talking here about those that are diagnosed with the condition, and what do you do with it? Here is a diagnostic criteria for bipolar 1 disorder. That is the manic episode, defined as a distinct period of persistently elevated or irritable mood with increased activity or energy lasting for at least 7 consecutive days or requiring hospitalization. You got to understand, this isn't just some elevated mood. This is real elevated mood. If the mood is irritable, at least 4 of the following have to be present. Elevated self-esteem or grandiosity. Decreased need for sleep. A compulsion to keep talking or being more talkative than usual. Flight of ideas or racing thoughts. High distractibility. Increased goal-directed activity or psychomotor agitation. Excessive involvement in activities that have a high potential for painful consequences. So, that is the manic episode. But then we go to look at the depressive episode. The presence of 5 or more of the following symptoms daily or nearly daily, every day, for a consecutive 2-week period that is a change from baseline or previous functioning. Subjective report of depressed mood most of the day, as observed by others. Significant weight loss when not dieting, or weight gain or decrease or increase in appetite. Insomnia, psychomotor agitation or retardation. Fatigue or loss of energy, feelings of worthlessness or excessive or inappropriate guilt, decreased concentration or indecisiveness, recurrent thoughts of death, recurrent suicidal ideation without a specific plan. So these are the characteristics, the diagnostic characteristics of the poles that we're talking about. Remember, bipolar? Mania is considered a medical emergency, often requires psychiatric hospitalization. Initial treatment is aimed at stabilization of the potentially or acutely agitated patient to help de-escalate the distress and mitigate potentially dangerous behavior. Calming the person, a calming environment. The Hypomanic episodes are not severe enough to cause marked impairment. That's hypomanic, but manic episodes are. Acute bipolar depression. Suicidal and self-harm risk has priority in managing patients with bipolar disorder who present with an acute depressive state, because most suicide deaths in patients with bipolar disorder occur during this phase. So, it is a dangerous, potentially dangerous situation. Patients with bipolar disorder showed a greater reduction in lifespan relative to the general population than patients with common mental disorders. Part of that is because of suicide. Severe anxiety and depression reducing life expectancy because of suicide. Individuals with bipolar disorder show a markedly increased risk a premature death due to the increased risk of suicide and medical comorbidities, including cardiovascular, respiratory, and endocrine causes. All right, all of that having been said, the question is, now what? As Paul and Arlene Samuels have indicated in their book, Mental Health Meltdown, describing their own journey, which they wanted to talk about here on the program today. I do not know why we were unable to connect with them, but I'm suspecting that it had to do probably with some health situation. But in any event, I'm standing in for them using their book and other things that I have personally researched to try to understand the situation and communicate it as best we can without their relational involvement in communicating it. So she said, Arlene Samuels said, yes, we have scars. Our adult children have scars. Occasionally it flares up. A dear friend once remarked, Arlene, you and your family have taught me how to forgive. Although Paul is 80 and I'm 78, she said, glancing back over the decades, I'm still frankly astonished. We have lost friends who found it difficult to be with us in our brokenness. We're deeply grateful to friends who have stood with us in our sorrows and loved us in our brokenness. Paul and I often remark, the Lord's unconditional love for us, despite ourselves, is utterly amazing. Well, utterly amazing. Here is a woman who, notwithstanding the diagnosis and what she has experienced regularly, periodically throughout their life, has maintained a conditional, unconditional love for her husband. And they rejoice in what God has done. I'm looking at their picture now. We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Anxiety is growing dramatically in our world and in our country. In fact, we're actually being referred to as the anxious nation. The anxious nation. Anxiety is the foundation for many other things. It changes body chemistry. It changes the way we think. the way we process the issues of our time, the way we deal with our relationships, even the way we deal with our relationship with the Lord. So our mental and emotional condition is very important to understand, and for those in our spheres of influence and spheres of relationship to be able to understand insofar as possible and to deal with in a godly and Christ-like way. Such is the story of Paul and Arlene Samuels with their book, Mental Health Meltdown, helping you hold on to hope. $20 will put the book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Mental illness lives in the shadows of conversation, often discussed only in whispers. Whether you or someone you know struggles with mental illness, Paul and Arlene Samuels say you are not alone. You are not alone. So they have a section in their book toward the end of the book called Questions We Ask Each Other. Questions We Ask Each Other. Question number one, do you think bipolar is a curse? And so there are a number of people that they expose this to who have dealt with bipolar or have family members, others that they know who have dealt with bipolar. So let me share some of these with you that are in the book. I feel like this is something we must go through so we can better ourselves and help others. There are gifts too. We can love deeper. We have creativity, empathy, sometimes joy, sometimes pain. Yep, it cost me my marriage, said one. Every day I wonder what I did wrong to have this situation, said another. No, I feel like it's a demon or two, maybe three or five. My husband loves me more than my demons do, and he helps me come out of my episodes with compassion and patience. Another says it's a blessing in many ways. I have much bigger heart and care more, which benefits me because I've been in nursing for 30 years. So here's a nurse who is bipolar. She says it makes each of us special in our own way, and we have to figure that out. Another says, no, I don't think it's a curse. Most people who have bipolar are intelligent, witty, charming, creative, and funny. Another says, yes, I do. I passed it on to my children. Another says, definitely, even though I don't believe in curses, I make an exception in this case. Another says, I think bipolar is a curse. All that has brought me is self-doubt after the mania, financial problems, and sometimes criminal stuff. It cost me my marriage and freedom, but I now have sobriety and med compliance. As a 42-year-old adult, starting life over. It's a gift for me because I found my true calling to help others, because I understand what they're going through. And on it goes. In other words, people have different viewpoints. And a lot of their viewpoints are based upon whether or not they're walking with the Lord. Because not all of those people that responded to that question the way they did were walking with the Lord. They were walking in the flesh, and therefore they did not have a faith that was able to enable them to be strong amid the storms of life. So the authors responded to those answers and said this: the question about bipolar as whether it's a curse or not, was poignant. Some gave answers based on religious beliefs, others based on suffering in relationships, jobs, friendships, pain, and even a few who recognized the positives of having bipolar. So Paul Samuels, at 80 years of age, says, with bipolar all my life, I could easily answer from any of those perspectives. None of them are either right or wrong. So I chose to appreciate the sun rising and to walk in all of its colors. I choose to gaze on a full moon and its celestial companions. I choose to fight against the cycles of bipolar and depression that invade my life. I choose to live aware that some days are better than others and that I have the gift of life. I choose to love my life and make the very best of it, whether my days are in total wellness or the worst of bipolar. I choose to comfort those in my life. I choose to appreciate my wife's unconditional love for 48 years. I choose to live. So what do you choose? Maybe you're suffering from this. Maybe you have a son or a daughter, a husband, a wife, a neighbor, a friend. Even pastors suffer. The next question they asked is, when is the right time to share about your mental illness and in how much detail? One says, I don't share anything. When I have, people back off. They don't understand. My ex-husband left and I can't undo my actions. Another says, my medical history and diagnosis are my personal business. No one has the right to that information. The problem is that people see the evidence of it. So what are you going to do? So the author's summary of that is, thanks to all who shared your thoughts, experiences, and advice, your answers describe the uniqueness of every person. I know that your voices in Mental Health Meltdown will help readers understand this aspect of sharing your mental illness. Well, apparently, these famous actors, actresses, scientists, and so on, singers, whose names we shared earlier on in the program, apparently they weren't afraid to acknowledge. Why did they do that? Well, probably because they wanted others to be encouraged. If I can continue on, so can you. If I can be successful, so can you. Now, should we go around and just willy-nilly pump out everything that we know about the things going on in our lives and so on? No. There's a time and a place. It can be part of your testimony. And that's what Paul and Arlene Samuels are doing with their book, Mental Health Meltdown. It's a part of their testimony, and they're sharing it in the latter part of their life to show what can happen, what can be done, the attitudes of the mind and heart that enable them to have a testimony, notwithstanding the monumental tests. The next question was, what are your absolute do's and don'ts to maintain a relationship between a bipolar and a non-bipolar person? Well, that's obvious. So here we go. Both need to understand the disorder and its symptoms and warning signs, and they need to trust each other. Make an agreement that in times of doubt, the bipolar person is willing to listen and consider the non-polar bipolar perspective as more likely true. This agreement has saved us, said the Samuels several times. Don't use excuses for either person or use the disorder as a weapon to hurt. Be honest with the good and the bad. Don't expect your partner to be 100% understand and be unconditionally forgiving. Only someone going through it gets it. Talk. Explain what you're feeling. Don't hide. If it's serious, they will want to know and can be a huge help. As the bipolar person in my marriage, I take my meds and communicate. Tell my husband what I'm down and why. See, these are a variety of people that are responding to this question. We deal with the storms when they come. We live our best life as much as possible, refusing to let it beat us. Be fully honest and unafraid about your condition and your state at any given moment. If someone can't be supportive, they are not the one. My husband learned everything he could about my bipolar and schizophrenia disorders. He sees changes in me and knows what to do. I communicate everything to him so I can get the support I need. Do not feel like your diagnosis is something to be ashamed of, and don't hide your symptoms. So, there was another question that was asked. Why do people say, I am bipolar, and not, I have bipolar? Well, because it's something I can't control, and it's not something I have, it's something I literally am, said one person. I am bipolar. Just like I am a woman, and I am white, I'm educated, I'm funny, I'm a mother. It's part of who I am. I can't separate it from my being. I don't have it. I am it. Another says, I am not my illness, but my illness still influences my life. It is fair to still say am because it is part of my everyday life, even if I'm stable with treatment. There are different ways to look at this subject, whether you are bipolar or you have bipolar. The author says, I prefer to say I have bipolar. I'm diagnosed with good meds, and while I cannot stop the presence of this brain disease, I can control what I allow it to do to me. Mental and physical illnesses happen, and both need treatment. It's a brain disorder. I have it. It is not who I am. I would agree with that. I would agree with that outlook. If you have cancer, you aren't cancer. If you have a loss of limbs, you are not a loss of limbs. You just have lost a limb or two. I think we need to be very careful about identifying so closely with a particular disease, or and that seems to be the tendency today. To claim that I am, not this, just that I have this that I'm suffering from, but I am. If you have measles, are you measles? No. If you have Lyme disease, are you Lyme disease? No. You may be suffering terribly from it, very much like even somebody with manic depressive or bipolar. But you have it. It's not, you are not that. Maybe that's an important thing to gather from this time together on the air today. You are a child of God if you have committed your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Yes, it would be great if he would heal you as Jehovah Rapha. But if he doesn't, bipolar is not who you are. It's a condition that you have that you're dealing with before the Lord. Every one of us has our own kinds of things that we deal with. Some easier to deal with than others. Mental Health Belltown, helping you hold on to hope. That's the book, $20 on our website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at $6 for postage and handling. And pray for Paul and Arlene Samuels. They should have joined us here today on the Viewpoint. We don't know exactly why. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.